Okay, good afternoon. My name is Tai Ling Zhen. I'm from University of Illinois. And this picture was taken 2 years ago, summer in Tibet. This is me in a work field. Okay, and the talk today, the title is 4660 Seismic Discontinuity Beneath Tibet, implies resting ground for detached lithosphere. So, I'm going to summarize the result first. So the key result is that we see seismic anomaly above the 660 in the transition zone beneath Tibet. So this is south to north and with Tibetan plateau. And we interpret it as a result of detached lithosphere coming from above beneath Jiangtang terrain. And perhaps this is the only talk that concerns the recycling of the continental lithosphere. I think most people, most seismic studies study the subducted oceanic lithosphere or upwelling plume. So this is the completely different tectonic setting. Okay, so this is a messy slide, but very simple points I just want to make. So we know the India and Asia were collided about in Eocene. The collision process is actually quite complicated. So this come out a whole bunch of models try to explain how these two plates interact with each other. But if you just ignore all the details, essential model implies that there's a detachment or delaminations of the lithospheric mantle beneath Tibet. So, okay. So if this is true, where the detached lithosphere go? So the first point, we have to somehow find it in the mantle. And secondly, if we find it, we should put it back. Okay, so this is the experimental configurations that we're trying to determine the lateral variations of the velocity within a transition zone. So we use the earthquake in Burma and the broadband array near Tian Shan and the southern edges of terrain to construct seismic profile goes across the Tibetan plateau. And this blue curve indicates the area that the 660 discontinuity is well determined. And the dashed curves are for the 410s. And for to get the baseline comparison, we actually also study the structures beneath India. So we use the earthquake in Hindu Kush and the array much south in central India to constrain the velocity here. And then we make the comparison of these two. So the resulting model is summarized here. So the blue curve is the velocity for Tibet, and the shaded area is for the uncertainty of the model, and the red is for India. And you can see that the Tibet has extremely small contrast. It's only about 3% at the 660, and compare with the India, which is about 4.4%. And so the Tibet is substantially faster than the velocities in India. And if you compare it with the global average ISB91, the difference is even larger. So the 3% is really the key findings in this study. So how can we precisely measure the velocities in the transition zone? Yi Wang yesterday actually already described the key principles here. So I just want to reinforce the main points. So we are basically constraining the seismic velocity using triplicated waveforms. So the triplications will occur at 410 and 660 at the distant range about 15 to 25 degrees. Simply because the velocity jump is large. And then it's called triplication because for a single station event pair, like at this station at distance here, you will receive multiple rays penetrate different depths in the mantle, but arrive at the station at similar times. And if you look at the ray paths, the ray paths are fairly close near the station and the event. So, but they spread out and turn into different depths around the transition zone. So the relative timings between each arrivals are sensitive to the structures near the transition zone instead of the complications at the shallow depths. Okay, so this is the beauty of this method. So we just look at these three arrivals. So the A prime, B primes is associated with this travel time curve, this one. And so it turns above the 410. And the AB is the one that turn right here at this travel time curve. It turns below the 410. And B prime, C prime is reflect off the 410. So, as the distance change, you can see two big bow ties coming out. So ideally, we want to capture the entire triplication of like 660. Then, of course, you require a large aperture. And to constrain the velocity, we look for the systematic change in both relative timings and the waveforms. That's the key concept for the method. So this just give you one example, show you a large aperture of our array. So part here is the solid line, is the data, and the dashed line is the synthetic seismogram calculated using our preferred model for Tibet. And what's in here, the thin curves are the triplication travel time curve. And it captures both 410 and 660. And this is a high resolution data. The frequency is centered about 0.5 hertz or so. So, and you can see to distinguish the size of 660, the triplication will show smaller bow ties associated with a shorter relative timing between the CD, which is the rate term below 660, and AB is the rate term above 660. And if you just look at the detail, like this station SUB, so right here is the blow up. So again, this is data and the synthetic is the dashed line. And because the size of 6 is so small, so the relative timing is very short. It forms a very compact waveform right here. So if we use the India model, essentially the 660 is so large, it predicts two separate arrival, and the time misfit is about 10 seconds, which is almost the dominant period of the signal. So you can see this is the peak and the peak to trough, basically. The data and the synthetics are completely different. Okay, so I'm going to skip the detail of others so you get the idea what that is. So we can see how India looks like. So as I said, India has a larger contrast. So here we also have this is the array, very dense array in India, and the waveform are very consistent. And we just pick one of them and match its waveform. You can see there are two separated arrival, one above and one below the discontinuity. And if we use the Tibet model, of course, the relative timing of the synthetics is too short, so it won't fit. Okay, so the main result is that we found fast anomalies in the transition zone beneath Tibet. So again, this is the cross-section. And we interpreted this detached mantle lithosphere beneath Tibet, and now it's resting right above the 660 discontinuities. And we're going to, but how, if this is detached from above, how this piece of rock associated with what happening above. So we are going to reconstruct this, examining by examining the time and the space. Okay, so before I move on, I want to define a few things clearly so we can go next steps. So first, what's the configurations above? We know, so here this is south to north and Tibetan Plateau. And there are two mental lithospheres we are considering. First is the mental lithosphere of India and mental lithosphere of Eurasia. And this IMF is the India Mantle Front, which is the north terminate of this India lithosphere mantle. And the MS is the mantle suture that indicates the southern terminate of this Eurasia lithosphere. And those two points were determined using the variation of SKS splittings found there. There's a north-south change of the SKS splitting, and also the Bugay anomalies and the fracture modeling. So this is what we know for the surface, near the surface. So how, when this lithosphere was detached, first we can get it from the based on thermal anomalies. So we know the velocity anomaly is about 0.12 kilometers per second, given the thermal derivative from the mantle rocks from the experimental studies. We calculate the thermal anomalies is about 200 to 300 K Kelvin colder than the surroundings. So knowing this thermal anomaly, and we did a first order calculations to figure out how long to preserve such kind of thermal anomaly, essentially the detachment has to occur very fairly recently, so that we can be it still remains slightly colder than the surrounding. And so the timing we estimate is has to be less than 20 million years. So, but I think this is not quite satisfying. We actually, based on the rock record, we can get even better timing. So there was a sequence of tectonomagnetics events after since the collisions. The latest magmatism in Jiangtang terrain, where we find, well, right up though. So let me show you this plot again. So we find the phenomenon here, and the Jiangtang terrain is right above. So this Jiangtang terrain, the latest magmatism is about 15 million years ago. And this mechanism implies the removal of the thickened mantle lithosphere, and due to the convective instabilities, it's so thick that it gets unstable. And it got removed and then followed by upwelling of the thinosphere. So then it actually remelted the mafic lower crust that produced the arcadites. So that's the record that tells us there is a late events of the magmatism. So if this is true, that means before the 15 million years, this the Indian mantle front, it has to be near the southern edge. So the India mantle, its front has to be near the southern edge of the Jiangtang terrains. So, and after 15 million years, it got removed. And because the roots disappeared, then the India would be able to move northward further to the current position. Okay, so with this time, well, the more precise time, 15 million years, we can actually test this from the independent, very independent data, which is from compounded GPS. So if we know the a reference point, the ground motion, and we know the shortening rate of the Tibet and the India plate, we can actually get the relative movement and try to calculate what was the position of the mantle front, the Indian mantle front, 15 million years ago. So if the model is true, the southern edge of the Jiangtan Terrain and the mantle front of India, mesosphere, should more or less line up. Okay, so this GPS data, what you see is the from south to north cross section, there were two different rates, trends here. So this part is within the Tibetan Plateau, and this part is associated with the Himalayan, and this point is India. So they're telling you that deforming at a different rate. And the linear trend right here indicates that the Tibetan Plateau is deforming uniformly at present time. So we can actually know the ground movement within the Tibet and the ground movement for India. So, and then we calculate what was the position of India mantle front and the Bangal Nujan Sutra, which is the southern edge of the Jiangtan Terrain, and backtracked to see the position of these two points 15 million years ago. So with the speed that we get from GPS and about 15 million years ago, they are very close to this point, this vertical dashed line within like 50 kilometers. Okay, so this actually worked. That means the timing, the space, the reconstruction comes quite consistent. So overall, the summary of our study is first, we find a high VP in the mantle transition zone beneath Tibet, and this is the in situ evidence for detached mantle lithosphere. And we also calculate the thermal anomalies of this detached mantle lithosphere to be about 200 to 300 K colder than the surrounding. We also try to reconstruct the history of this detached lithosphere. We actually found our thermal modeling, simple thermal modeling, is very consistent with the timing indicated by magmatic events, and it also works for the spatial reconstruction. Okay, so I think that's it.
What about composition? If you have a detached atmospheric part down near the 660, mm-hmm. You calculated the temperature assuming probably the same, same composition below and above the 660. Mm-hmm. What about, probably there you have a very different composition because we have a lithospheric material.
Well, first of all, based on the geologic context, there's no reason to think, well, this piece of rock is completely different in composition anywhere. Yeah, so that's why we first look for the simplest indication, which is the thermal anomaly. Yeah, that's just where we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. Mm-hmm. So.
What's the reason why people think that the deep permafrost components will produce the particle-potassic
catechines? That's what people say. But has a higher potassium and calcium content. Precisely, that's what they indicate. So it's remelting of the magnetic component, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Very strongly radiogenic isotonics.
Thank you.